tell me a little bit more about this song. Why the you like the quartet setting?
Well, yeah, I do. Because it offers a lot of freedom, a tremendous amount of freedom. You're generally not reading anything, not usually, although you can, of course. It's the only thing that's freer, of course, is picking up the horn and with no one at all, which, of course, offers you a great deal of freedom. It also offers you the opportunity to get lost, and it doesn't bother anybody. quartet, it does bother in a quartet.
Mm-hmm. But, and so the quartet, it offers a freedom that, like you said, is that mm-hmm. different than in a trio setting?
No. Well, the only difference is rhythmic. I kind of like the rhythmic drive of bass and drums. And of course, like Sonny Rollins has done just tenor and drums and bass mm-hmm. without the keyboard or without any chord instrument. So I think he probably feels, or felt at the time anyway, that he would rather have this drive of the two basic rhythmic instruments rather than having the chordal structure of the piano or guitar or whatever. So I prefer a quartet over a trio. A trio is even more intimate, of course, but I don't. If I want to really try to cook, it's harder for me without the drums or without the bass.
So that's interesting. So does that change as you add more instruments like the quintet or sextet or something like that? Or is it diminishing returns after a certain point?
I think it is. Yeah, I do. Hmm. I think the main reason for adding a second horn, a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, et cetera, is to get tonal coloring and to get the, where you actually hear the chordal structure much more fully, rather than just having the single line instrument. It kind of ties you up and doesn't give you as much freedom, of course, but you have the pleasure of hearing these wonderful chords coming at you then.
That's cool. Well, you also brought another CD, and the Straight Up Ensemble, I think, is...
Yeah, this John Trenacosta is the founder of this group called Straight Up. I've forgotten the year John started it. I think it was maybe 1994. I remember becoming a part of the quintet version of it and quartet version of it about 1996. And I think this album was made in 1997. And it features a trumpet, and I'm playing a couple of three different instruments, one of the saxes, and piano, bass, and drums. And this tune is Joshua.
And a little bit of Joshua. This is the straight-up ensemble featuring Arlen Asher, who we're talking to right now.
And Bob Fox.
Bob Fox.
On piano. He's the guy who did the arrangement. And John Trinacosta. And John Bell's a guy on bass. And Michael Morreale on trumpet.
All right.
Pardon me for getting that in there.
It's a great ensemble. Really is.
Thank you.
Do we have some more music? We have some more music.
I think I have a couple more, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
We started out with, excuse me, the Dixieland thing, of course, and then we went to a quartet format. These are all kind of in the same era. The straight-up thing was 1997, and I think Sharon's quartet thing was about 1993 or 4, maybe. More recently, I produced an album called Another Spring. And there are a couple of things on there I'd like to play a little bit of. There's an arrangement of It Might As Well Be Spring. The arrangement was done by Bert Dalton. And I told him I really wanted to kind of make this one a little bit different. You usually hear It Might As Well Be Spring as a ballad, a kind of a tender love song type thing. So I asked if he would write it as a samba, which he did. And he wrote a section for alto, flute, and piano, which comes after his piano solo, which I'd kind of like to, if we have time, to play that. After his piano solo, it's a unison thing between piano and alto flute. And I'm playing alto flute for the entire length of the tune on this one. Okay. Might as well be spring.
All right.
Thank you.
So Arlen, this is a CD you produced, Another Spring.
Yes.
And really, really nice music. What is so special about this CD to you?
Well, first of all, the concept of Another Spring is not just the title of 12 tunes with spring in it. It's the idea that another spring signifies a new beginning. And that's kind of what I wanted to try to get across. It also has a picture of my wife when she was 6 weeks old.
That's a beautiful picture.
On the cover. So.
It's a beautiful picture.
Thank you.
And so a new beginning for a particular reason, a new beginning?
No, just a new beginning, like, for anything, for life.
It inspired by just the idea of renewal.
Right, exactly.
Great, great. There's another song you want to play from this.
One more, if possible, if we have time. We've been featuring quartet, quintet material, and the sextet with the Dixieland Band. So we haven't covered an ensemble thing. I don't have any recordings, or I've been part of a big band. I've played in quite a few big bands, like 18, 20-piece bands. But I don't have any recordings of them. So I asked Bob Fox, another fine pianist in Santa Fe, if he would arrange a song, Clifford Brown tune, called Joy Spring. And I said I'd kind of like to feature baritone saxophone, but could you also write it for a full saxophone section outside of the solo work for the Barry? And so he wrote it for two altos, two tenors, and baritone sax, and piano, bass, and drums. And I overdubbed all the parts, all the saxophone parts, at a studio I have at home, on solar-powered, by the way.
Uh-huh.
So this gives us kind of an ensemble feeling.
Thank you.
So there are a lot of local folks that are on this really, really beautiful piece that we just played here.
Oh.
And it must have been a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a joy to produce and record. I did about, maybe not quite half of it at home. I did all the overdubbing at home. Mm-hmm. We did the rhythm sections at a studio in Santa Fe.
That's great.
Much fun.
Really, really nice.
I had Bob Fox on piano and David Parlato on bass. John Trenicasta on this particular recording. John Trenicasta on drums. And me on those other things.
Yeah, all the other stuff. Well, you know, it's been a joy talking to you. I mean, you've been here, like you said, about 40 years.
Actually, it's about 47.
47 years. Hmm. That's right. That's because
something like that.
Yeah, okay.
I kind of lose track.
I keep forgetting that you got here when I was born.
so I know how old you are.
Yeah. Exactly. So I hope you don't dispute this, but some would probably call you the elder statesman of jazz in New Mexico.
I've been called lots of things. Yes.
So you've seen
including
a lot.
That.
You've seen a lot in New Mexico. You've seen the changes that have come, especially in the music scene.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you think it's evolved during that time?
Well, recently, the past few years, maybe the past 5 to 10 years, and maybe even more compressed than that, the past 3 or 4 years, people are moving from New York, from Los Angeles, from Chicago, from Detroit, to Santa Fe and Albuquerque, and they're making their home here. And having established reputations in their respective cities, they use the place as a basis, as a base to depart from, and maybe just to hang out and play here, too.
Mm-hmm.
It happens both ways. So it's evolved into it becoming, I think there are probably more, I don't know this for a fact, but I think there, I'm guessing there are more jazz, really good musicians, not just jazz, but musicians per capita in this area, what I call the Rio Grande Corridor, than maybe any place else in the country per capita.
Well, that's interesting.
I don't know that for a fact. It just seems like it.
It feels like it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's in comparison to the way it used to be, or actual.
Of course, that has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 1958, there weren't very many of us.
Yeah. And why do you think they're moving here?
Maybe for the same reason you and I came. We like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it.
No.
Arlen Asher, thanks so much.
Thank you, David.